Today on Piano Jazz, we bring you a program from our 1994 archives. Marion McPartland's guest is Grammy Award-winning pianist-composer Danilo Perez, educator, philanthropist, and one of the most influential dynamic musicians of our time. Danilo Perez was born in Panama in 1965. He started his music studies at age 3 with his father, who was a bandleader and singer. He studied European classical piano repertoire at the National Conservatory in Panama, and later came to the United States to study jazz composition at the prestigious Berklee College of Music. While a student, he performed with Terence Blanchard, Claudio Roditi, and Paquito de Rivera, among others. From 1989 to 92, he toured and recorded with Dizzy Gillespie and the United Nations Orchestra, and then Wynton Marsalis, the Wayne Shorter Quartet, and many others. He currently tours worldwide with his own trio. And now, from 1994, here is Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz.
Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Danilo Perez. He's a fast-emerging young pianist from Panama who is creating serious listening music within a Latin jazz and straight-ahead jazz tradition. I think that sort of describes you a little bit, Danilo, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I'm very excited to be here, really.
You're from Panama, right?
Yeah. Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. That's cute. No, I just was thinking how charming your accent is. I just love it.
Thank you.
And I just sort of want to go back and maybe talk about how you got started and how you came over here. But before we do any of that, maybe you could play something for the people listening so we could hear just how good you are.
Well, yes, I have something that I would. One of my main heroes has been Monk, because he's
Thelonious Monk.
Yes,
yeah.
Because he's very his rhythm approach is very interesting, and his harmonic knowledge and the way he bends the notes and stuff. And when I got the chance to work with Hendrix, he taught me a little bit of Monk.
Oh, John Hendrix, right?
Yeah. He taught me a little bit about Monk, and I just have a little, a tune called Reflections that I like to play.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, I love that. You were really into it. You Thank must you. Have studied Monk's music to a great extent. You played a lot of his tunes.
Well, I play a lot of his tunes and try to check out his voices and try to take, like I've told you, I'm taking some ideas and putting to my own, you know, try to play my own rhythms, but his basic concept, how he approached the sound, and that's what I'm really working on it, because I really like the fact that his personality comes through his playing. When he plays, I know, like, two notes, and I know it's Monk, you know. That's an amazing, you know, personality through his playing.
Well, did you learn some of these tunes before you came over here, or when you went to Berkeley?
No, I learned that with John Hendricks.
Oh, well, now you were born in Panama. I mean, at what age did you come over here?
I came here was 18 years old.
But before that, did you hear jazz in Panama? Did you hear anything?
You know what? It was funny. In front of my house, there was a neighbor that he used to play all these Freddie Hubbard records, like the best, you know, the very best of Freddie and Hop Tones and all those records. But I didn't know what it was. All I knew is that I liked it. You know, I just liked it. The feeling was great. But my tradition, really, I grew up listening to Latin music and classical music. My father really had me playing the clave, you know.
Clave, that's the main ingredient for the band, isn't it? If you don't have that, you ain't got nothing.
Exactly. It's like they say, if you don't swing, you know, it's like...
Yeah, right. So I read somewhere your father gave you some bongos when you were about 8 years old.
Well, the bongos thing is like 3 years old.
Oh,
I was
really?
Playing bongos since I was three. My father used to take me with him the afternoon gigs, and I would play the clave.
Oh, he was a band leader, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I guess that's what you got into before the piano, playing all different percussion instruments,
sure.
Did you?
You know, when I heard the piano, remember I heard Eddie Palmieri and all those guys.
I love Eddie Palmieri and the rhythms that he plays. Oh, I've got to meet him. I think he's sensational.
Yes, yes. And when I hear him, I was like, this is it. I can hear everything, the percussion, the melodies, the harmony. You know, so that's what really drew me into the piano.
Well, did you have a piano over there, or was that after you got to the States?
Oh, I didn't. I gotta tell you a funny story. We come from a really poor family, and you know, I wanted to study piano. It was really expensive. So my father found out this guy who has a piano, but it has an octave. Just the piano was like huge, like a grand piano.
Yeah.
But it was worth it, just an octave. So when I had my
first
lesson.
Oh, that's all that worked on the. You mean the piano didn't play except for one octave?
Exactly.
Oh,
so the first week we're fine, right? And the second week I was crying because, you know, that was it. I mean, as soon as I have like a C above the staff or something, it was gone. That piano wasn't worth it anymore.
Oh, God.
So I never forget that. I just bought my piano, my own, you know, only piano I ever owned. I'm so happy to have it.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, how did your father, or did you decide you were going to come to the States and go to Berkeley in Boston?
Yes, I mean, what happened is that I was trying to please my mother, studying electronics, which was that was my major. By the same time, I kind of forced my mother and my father to let me, you know, go into music on the side as a fun, you know, hobby. And she let me do that. But when I was about 18, when I went to college, I went second year in college,
mm-hmm.
I quit. I said, I want to do music. This is what I want to do. So there was a classical piano teacher going around Panama with the IIE, International Institute of Education, giving scholarships. And I got one to go to Indiana University.
Uh-huh.
And then when I went there for a year, I heard Chick Corea playing.
Oh,
and
my
goodness. He just blew me away. I just said, I got to go to somewhere where I can learn this music, you know, because I didn't know. I mean, I wasn't like a jazz-born, you know, musician. I like music, so.
Well, you were evidently naturally attuned to it. You obviously just jumped right in and appreciated everything that you heard.
Well, it was just amazing to be able to play, you know, so. Wow, I don't know. It's like I got hooked right away. You know?
Well, before we go any further, play another tune. You played a little few bars of something from Argentina. You said it was a tune.
Oh yes, this tune. You know, when I choose this tune for my record, this tune is so, you know, it's like soulful. It's about love, and the melody comes through there. So I'll try to play.
What's the name of this one?
It's like called Alfonsina y el Mar. It's about a woman who dies of love. That's what it is. Like really, you know.
Well, I might be in love. I don't think I want to die.
Well, you know, it's like those old stories, you know, where they, they kill Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, sure. What's that title again?
Alfonsina y el Mar. You want to try that?
Great. Play it. You know, I'm impressed because you obviously like to set a mood, and it was interesting you requested that we turn out all the lights here. So for people listening, they can do the same while you're playing that piece. But it's, I mean, it's a very, very moody piece, as you say. I mean, about somebody who died because of her lover or whatever. It's very sad piece. And, you know, I noticed you did something in your improvisation. A little thing crept in there.
Yeah.
I thought, gee, what is that? There was that's a Bach thing, is it?
Yeah, I think it's from the Well-Tempered Clavier, I think. And I have to say that when I work with Paquito, he did so many different kind of music that
Paquito de Rivera, wonderful musician.
He got me back into all this, you know, like, I mean, you know, even go deeper into classical music and take things out and try to create, you know. So I would say that since I worked with Paquito, I think all those influences became more clear to me.
How long were you with him?
4 years.
Oh, 4 years. Well, my God, that was a great education for you.
Sure.
And learning so much within that framework with his band. Well,
sure.
You must have made a lot of recordings with him.
We did 3 or 4 recordings with him. Yeah. I got to produce one, and I was the musical director the last couple of years with his band, so I got to do a lot of practical training for my own thing, you know. He's a great man, you know.
Yes, he is. Well, somebody else you know well, Claudio Roditi?
That is my musical mentor. I mean, those guys, I feel very... you know, happy to have met somebody like, unlucky to meet somebody like Donald Brown, you know, Claudio Roditi, who gave me to Paquito, I mean, Tom Hart, you know, I mean, there has been a bunch of, you know, people in my life who really helped me out with, you know.
In case you just tuned in, we're having a great deal of fun here. My guest is Danilo Perez. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Well, you know, before we go any further, you know, it would be fun to have a go at a duet. Have you done any two pianos?
No, I don't think so.
No, well, you're going to do it now.
No, I have done. When I was in Italy with Mulgrew,
Mulgrew Miller.
Yeah, uh-huh. He's another, you know, hero of mine, you know, and another personal, you know, friend. He and James William, all that crowd, you know, they really supportive musicians.
Aren't they great? Yeah, James is a very good friend of mine.
Yeah, James is like, you know, James was my teacher too for a couple of lessons.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, he used to be at Berkeley, I remember.
Yeah.
He's getting into being a real jazz historian. He remembers everything. I'm always calling him up and saying, what date was this record and who was on it and what did they play and stuff like that. You know, he knows everything about Phineas Newborn.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you picked a pretty good tune to try. So easy to remember.
Could we do that? Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorite things.
Good. Well, all right. Thank you. Oh, that was nice. And you know, it's easy to tell when somebody has played a lot, like as an accompanist in a band. You play such wonderful comping, wonderful accompanying.
Thank you.
I was starting to get greedy, you know, thinking, well, I'm going to do 10 more choruses. Just delightful.
Oh, thank you. That's a really compliment for coming from you,
but
Mary.
But you know, you've had years of, or quite a few years of playing with people like Paquito. But then now, after that, when did you go with Dizzy Gillespie?
Well, with Paquito, you know, I started with John Hendricks, really.
Yes,
that was my school,
right.
2 years. And
that.
Then I was on and off. Then I started the first Terence Blanchard Quintet when he first started, separated from Don Harrison. Then Claudio Roditi recommended me to Paquito. So it was really Claudio.
Mm-hmm.
I played with Claudio in Boston
with
a group by Victor Mendoza. It's a vibraphone player from there. And that's when I met Claudio. And then Claudio recommended me with Paquito. And then being with Paquito recommended me with Dizzy. And also it was funny, too, because Sly, for example, when Sly came to school, to Berkeley, Sly Hampton, yeah. When he came to school, I got to accompany him there.
To accompany him.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. So I learned a lot. I remember he told me, you got to listen to Bud Powell. You got to learn to, you know, that was great. I mean, those guys really, I mean, all of them, they're open to teach you stuff, you know. James Moody and all those guys. So, I mean, that's how I got to Dizzy, through Paquito.
So then when did you start with Dizzy?
I started with Dizzy in 1989, and I remember the first criticism he came to me and said, you don't have to play so much stuff, you know. He's like, leave space, that's nice too, you know.
Yeah,
especially
leave space
for company. I remember he was probably one of the first one to tell me, don't play so many, you know, like, don't put everything in the court, because then I don't get to play any note. Any note that I play sounds in, and I want to sound out.
Oh, I see, like you're playing a million notes in the chord.
Right, I mean, like if he was saying like this, you know, like a E flat 7 sharp 11 with all this stuff. You know, with all, he said, don't have to play that, just play this. Or play, you know, you don't play so many notes, just 2 notes or 3, so I can play whatever note I want and it's still being like
he, you know, like that's good advice, because people do that. They tend to play too many notes. In fact, that's good advice for me. I mean, it's the same thing. You've got to leave some notes for the soloist
for
to
the
play, because if
play,
you're playing it too, it's a real drag.
Right. So I've been very, very fortunate, Marian. I mean, really. And I always look to all of you guys. I mean, you got so much knowledge that my mouth, it feels like it's just, I'm serious. I mean, it just, and all I want to do is just learn as much as I can from that and take it a little bit farther. I always try to spice up, you know, like maybe I can put a Latin rhythm to this. You know, I took some stuff from you too, from that video to how you play the, you know, you play in the video and the.
Oh, that, what did I play? Oscar Pettiford.
Oscar Pettiford. Thing
well, that would make a good Latin.
That's right.
That's
right.
Word. Yeah, right, there you go.
Yeah, that's right.
My God, what a great idea.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you'll have to do that. You know, I'm having such an interesting time learning all about my guest, who's from Panama, and his name is Danilo Perez. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz.
I, you know, you've been, you know, every time I get around to people and your caliber, you know, the first thing I always ask is, would you play a tune for me? I mean, would you, like, have the, you know, like, would make me so, you know, happy to hear you playing live and to see your fingers moving, how you think.
See, my fingers move, I hope they'll move. God, I'd love to play something for you, Danilo. In fact, I'm going to try this little tune that I wrote for Mary Lou Williams. And it's, I don't know if I can play it, but I'm just going to have a go at it so you can hear it.
Wow, that was beautiful. That was for Mary Lou Williams, right?
Mary Lou Williams, yeah.
Did you know her?
Yes, I did. Actually, that tune, it's a funny word, but it means lament. I called that threnody. Threnody meaning a sad, sort of a sad song. But no, I just recorded some music of Mary Lou because I thought it was time somebody did a recording of her music, of some of it. But I knew her quite well, and she probably would be giving me hell for what I did.
I noticed you were using like triads and stuff like that, like a bunch of sounds, like you know.
Yes, well, you know, I'm trying to catch up with all you young guys. If Mary Lou was around, she would be doing that. She was always very sort of avant-garde. She always listened to what was new, and in fact, she used to say that she would like to be the one to do something new before everybody else did, you know.
Wow.
She was very sort of competitive. No, I admired her a lot. She was a great piano player. But listen, I'd like to hear you play some more. How about, have you got a piece of your own or something that you could do?
Well, I have, I like to do this short piece that I just wrote for Dizzy that it's going to be featured in my new record. It's kind of have the first four bars, it got the kind of vibe that Con Alma has. You know, that
yes,
kind of progression. But I wrote a tune for him, so I'll play it too.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. Has it got a name, or is it just...
It's called Reminisce.
Reminiscing.
Yeah, like almost like, you know, we made a word out, like R-E. It sounds like reminiscing, but it's not written reminisce.
Oh, okay.
Reminiscing, you know.
All right. Thank you. You know, that was really a beautiful tune. I just love it. Now, that's your own tune, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it's dedicated to Dizzy.
Right, well, you've got to make a copy of that for me because the chords are so pretty. You really have a interesting way of putting chords together. I guess this is because of these people you've worked with and things that you've absorbed from them.
Mm-hmm. Especially with Tom Harrell and Dizzy, Claudio, Paquito, and classical music, I think. You know, and all the tradition that there is to jazz. I mean, all those guys, the way the Monk put the chords to, you know, I mean...
The Monk is a whole other kettle of fish, isn't it?
I know, yes. Wow.
But when you talk about the classical music, you must be talking about Ravel and people mm-hmm. like that. I mean, because that's where all those chords come from, too.
Exactly.
Well, I just want to hear more, that's all. So how about... you were talking about... Carlos Franzetti wrote a tune?
Yeah, he's a great composer and pianist from Argentina. He wrote a tune called Serenata.
Oh, great. Well, are you going to play that?
Yeah, but I may go into my funny Valentine, you know, I slip that through there.
Are you
I'll see
sneak
if I can remember
that.
That. Yeah, I'll okay. try.
Okay,
you know.
All right. Wonderful.
Thank you.
You know, putting those two tunes together, that was really nice. Serenata is very pretty, and of course, to hear you do Funny Valentine, it's such a lovely tune to hear your interpretation of that. Beautiful.
Thank
With
you.
The lights down low. Man. You know, we were thinking about, when we were talking before about that Jazz Legends, and you heard me play Bohemia After Dark, and you said, gee, that would make a good Latin tune. Would you want to just try and do something like that?
All
just
right.
For fun?
All right.
All right,
I mean,
you'll have
sure
to set it up. You'll have to set it up, and we'll see if we can play on it. Okay? Boy, I could really learn so much from it. I just learned something just hearing you do that. It's just fantastic playing with that kind of rhythm. I mean, you're steeped in that, and I'm not. I'm sort of
proper
British person. But, oh, that's wonderful.
It does lend itself.
Well, you've got to go home and do that.
Yeah, we got to do that. We got to do that. No, we got to do that and put that in the record, huh?
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Okay, in case you just tuned in, we're having a great deal of fun here. My guest is Danilo Perez. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Well, now that I had my fun with Bohemia After Dark, I'd like to play just a really pretty ballad for you. I think I might have learned this years ago from Teddy Wilson, and it was written, I'm pretty sure, by his ex-wife, Irene Kitchings, and it's called Some Other Spring.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. Wow, Marian, this is great. I mean, I love to hear all those inner voices. You know, I learned that from Barry Harris, was one of the first ones to, you know, when you had the major thing. And you know, and also I've been studying Gershwin, and I can hear all those when you're playing those, you know, where you're playing all those major chords and you put all those inner.
You have to have those. I don't know how or where I learned that, but you can't just skip over them. They have to be in there.
Right.
But Barry Harris, so he's a master of all those things. I mean, you must have learned a lot from him too.
Yeah, I had the chance a couple of times that I had done. But you know, in the Gershwin, in the Reaction in Blue, you hear that in the middle.
Oh yeah, you hear
that?
Yeah. Right.
That's all over there. Yeah.
I should remember, I used to play that thing. Did you ever play that Rhapsody
in Blue? I'm working on it now, yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
I'm going to come and hear you when you do that.
Yeah, that's some hard part on it.
No, you know, it's a shame we have to wind up the show. And I really do thank you for being on the show. You're just a wonderful young man and fine musician. You should just be a star. I'm glad I'm talking to you now while I still can.
No, thank you very much. I'm just going to keep dealing with the music, you know, very serious. For me, this is like really, you know, every time I play, I try to give myself in and to try to, you know, take you to a journey, you know.
And you do.
Thank you very much. It's been really an honor to be here. I mean, I just like, you know, just being in here where all, you know, where you have been with all these great masters too, just for me is a thrill.
I'm so lucky. Imagine having a whole afternoon of Dizzy all to myself.
Oh my God.
Too much, isn't it? Well, you know, we could wind up with a nice, easygoing tune by Sonny Rollins. You want to do that, Olio?
All right.
You want to try that?
All right.
Okay. Thank you. that was great. That was fun.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and her guest, Danilo Perez. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Andrew Milano, mastering engineer Bill Sexton, production assistant Gene Pinkston, executive producer Tom Clark. I'm David Mitchell, rebroadcast engineer and announcer. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR. Additional support comes from Downbeat, an insider's guide to 80 years of evolving jazz styles, on the web at downbeat.com. Support for digital archiving was provided by Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. Support for NPR comes from the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.